Honey, will you eat that snack cracker in your special outfit for me?
Howdy, Hillsboro. What's up, y'all? Oh, y'all know what time it is, man. It is Sunday, and what a Sunday it is, man. It's looking pretty good outside right now, so that's why we're hanging out at the Village Diner. My name is Eric Pruitt. I'm a crime author and co-host of the number one rated talk show in Chapel Hill, Howdy Hillsboro. I'm here with my partner in crime, Alexis Bravos, massage therapist and co-bartender with me at Yonder in Hillsboro. How you doing, Alexis?
I'm great, Eric. I'm super stoked about eating breakfast right now.
We're here with you, Howdy Hillsboro, 97.9 The Hill.
No point.
Thank you so much for joining us. We do have an extra seat here in this outdoor dining place at Village Diner, right down here, located in lovely King Street. I wonder if someone would take it.
I see a sweet, sweet figure jogging by in tiny shorts. Could that be our friend Sean?
Sean Picor. Hey, buddy, come on over here. Why don't you rest Sean. Those things off and sit down?
Hey, how y'all doing?
How are Sean? You doing?
Good.
Hey, didn't take you for a jogger.
Yeah, you know. I put the shoes on once in a while and run.
He's running from something. Sean, what are you running from?
As you do at 8 in the morning.
Those things are never going to catch you, Sean. I got faith in you. You're too fast for those things.
Yeah, too fast.
What have you been up to this weekend?
This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, a bunch of parties, pool party, some yoga, a birthday party,
woo,
a Yonder party.
Sweet.
Bunch of social stuff happening. Maybe a little too much social stuff. So by Sunday evening, I was, you know, in a cocoon.
Well, you work pretty close to here, right, Sean?
Yeah. I work over in Red Eye. At Red Eye Worldwide is a music distribution company, physical and digital, located right in Hillsboro on the west side of Hillsboro. Love it. Been there for about 5 years. It's a party. It's challenging. I learn a new thing every day about the music industry. So it's fun.
What's the most surprising thing you've learned about the music industry?
How much alcohol the typical music executive can drink before dying.
How much is that?
It's like two-fifths.
I guarantee we can drink more.
A challenge accepted. We'll invite you to the next label hang in October.
Sweet.
You can do a Howdy Hillsboro from the Fruit at 2 in the morning.
Oh. Don't tempt us.
What is a label hang? If you'll tell Sean Picor here with Red Eye telling us all of the insider secrets here on 97.9 The Hill.
Yeah, the label hang is our annual music conference. It's based out of Durham, and it's about a solid week. We have about 50 to 80 different like music labels rolling into town, and a bunch of DSP reps like Spotify, Tidal, Apple folks, music industry folks, and we have panels during the day, and about like 5 seconds after the last panel, the drinking starts and the networking and the fun, and it's always a good time. Most of the relationships get reinforced in the music industry at a bar or a club, and I think that's the right way to do it.
I think that's most industries. Hey, so let me ask you, things have changed, you know, over the last 50 years with music and labels, you know, as we've shifted mostly from radio to streaming platforms. How does payola work with streaming platforms?
Oh, it's funny you should ask that, Eric, because Spotify has just recently rolled out a program called the Spotify Discovery Program. So it's kind of like reverse payola. They're like, hey, if you have every label of yours that signs up for the Discovery Program, we'll play you more. We'll play those artists more, but we'll pay you less. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like inverse payola. So in exchange for additional exposure, they'll get less revenue, but it's more of a volume model.
Huh.
So, you know, like, but it's actually pretty effective for a lot of emerging artists. Like you might get like a typical indie artist might get 300,000 streams a month. And mm-hmm. the Discovery Program has shot it to like 400,000 or 500,000 streams a month, and that's it's a huge opportunity for like new emerging artists to just get more exposure. So, but they're opening up the program to like more and more people. We were part of and remain part of their beta program, but they're going to be rolling it out, I think, en masse later this year.
So an artist still has to have a label in order for them to do, you still have to go through the label in order to
No, you can program? I mean, you need an intermediary that can distribute your music to digital platforms, but it doesn't need to be a label. You could be an indie and get set up with a, you know, I think there's like a service, a CD Baby might do it. Amped, I think, has like a direct for artists program. I'm not a musician. I work in the IT sort of sphere of the music industry, but I, even not working directly in the marketing aspect, I know that's not a good idea. Like you really benefit by having a label, and especially a distribution marketing company who can call up, literally has the direct number to reps at Spotify and Apple. They have those people at Apple and Spotify and Tidal, they curate playlists, and you develop relationships with them. And then when you say, hey, I've got this great artist coming up, you know, I can send you the FLAC file for this track. It's going to be awesome. You know, and then you can negotiate, informally to get them onto playlists that Spotify curates and that can make or break an entire release. And you're not going to get that kind of treatment if you're indie. And you're just one artist. You might luck out and go viral on your own, and then people notice you. But it's just usually better to get a label and a rep.
I'm interested in these Spotify playlists. You said they're curated by an actual person.
Yeah, like when you go, say, if you're on Spotify and you're like, "Hey, dance club hits," and you'll see like a list of playlist results.
Right.
When you click on any one of them, you'll see who owns that playlist, who manages it. And if it says Spotify, that's a Spotify curated playlist. And there are like countless number of people at Spotify who love music and they love certain genres, and they kind of like, they curate their collection of playlists. Every week they add and remove songs. It's very tactical from a business perspective. And then also it's a lot of emotional aspects because the people who curate them they love music. Yeah.
If we were to hack into your Spotify, Sean, and I haven't done this, but what would your top like three or four artists be at the moment?
It'd be Hylum, Tech N9ne, Gims, and
I don't understand these words.
Okay, so
by the way, I went to a Hylum concert with this man right here. It's one of the single most mind-blowing events of like 2022 for this little kid.
It was like the Nordic. Are they metal band or
Yeah, they were like Nordic fusion. They were very metal in spirituality, but not, the music isn't metal. It's very tribal, and the instruments are made out of like human bones and stuff.
I don't think that's legal.
In Denmark it is.
Like most things. Hey, speaking of apps real quick before we got to go. I recently saw like one of the hot new apps around here in Hillsboro is just called Is Sean Single? And when I clicked on it, it says you are not single. How accurate are these apps?
That is that's accurate.
All right.
Accurate as F.
All right.
There's going to be crying in the streets tonight.
So y'all heard that here. Go ahead and download the Is Sean Single app so that you can get the latest updates and find out when that changes.
Yeah, so make sure you activate your push notifications.
Push notifications. Hey, also on Spotify, we're talking about playlists before we get out of here. Do you have a romance playlist? And
I do.
What is the top song on it?
You mean romance like Making
several,
Love?
I have several.
Like Making Whoopee.
I have several romance playlists, depending on the vibe. But the what's the top song or top artist?
Sure, the top song.
Give us a song.
Apartment.
Apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's that by?
Let's look. I don't recall, but I can
well,
look it up on
I tell you what. We're going to listen to a little Apartment right here in the Village Diner parking lot while you guys run and download that app, Is Sean Single. It's going to be on the Yonder Bar NC website. And why don't y'all stick around, because everybody's favorite part of the show is coming up, where we ask Alexis all kinds of questions. You ready for this, Sean?
I'm so ready.
Stick around. We'll be right back.
No. Been thinking about the same thing, same thing. So dive in deep till we drown. Breathe out, breathe in.
I'm Jen Weaver, mayor of beautiful Hillsboro. Happy birthday to 97.9 The Hill. Thank you for serving the Chapel Hill area with news and information since 1953.
How is that?
Dude, trust me. It used That's to be good. So much worse. It used
That's
to be so
much I really, I've been practicing in the shower.
I'm amazed.
Welcome back, y'all, to Howdy Hillsboro. My name is Alexis Bravos, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Eric Pruitt. We're here every Sunday talking to a special guest, and this week it's our friend Sean Pecor.
Yeah.
Pecor?
Pecor.
Pecor. Pecor.
Or Pecor.
I finally
Pecker.
Know. I've been saying it. A lot of different
it's just,
ways.
You know, pretend you're a 18th century French farmer who can't read or write, and your last name's Picard, and that's kind of
the answer's to Swayze, by the way.
Yeah, I do.
Welcome back to Howdy Hillsboro, y'all, on 97.9. No point.
The Hill.
The Hill.
No point.
WCHL.
Still no point.
We are gonna answer some advice questions. If y'all have your own advice questions, you can come to Yonder Bar in Hillsboro and drop them into the pickle jar, which
Stick
is on the bar.
In there.
Shove them in.
Stick them in.
Jam them right in.
It'll fit.
Be creative. And, or if you don't want to do that, you can submit them.
Submit.
Digitally on the online portal at chapelboro.com/howdyhillsboro.
Submit to Alexis.
Slide them right in. Sean, are you ready to help us answer some questions?
I'm so ready. Let's do this.
Okay. Let's go to one from the jar. Dear Alexis, do you think there are benefits to non-monogamy? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I think sex with
sex.
A lot of different people.
More sex.
Would be
sex.
The...
It's definitely a chief benefit.
The benefit. But I mean, I'm wondering if this person is considering, you know, branching out from their current relationship. And I think it depends on your personal philosophy. I mean... A lot of people just believe that you're not supposed to be with one person for your whole entire life. And that does seem a little unrealistic, given people are, you know, fickle.
Yeah. People change.
And ever changing.
Grow.
Yeah.
Grow
so,
apart. Grow together.
Right. It's definitely important to get both people in the relationship on board, though, and have, like, a real honest conversation about it.
Yeah, Sean, I think you need to be open and honest. Yeah.
Have you dealt with this sort of thing in relationships before?
I may have
before?
Some experience with that. Recently, I went on to a two-month foray into, like, ethical non-monogamy,
mm-hmm.
where I was, like, openly communicating to everyone I was with, where my journey was, and that was fine.
Got us a lot of downloads on that.
Otherwise known as
app.
Slutting around, Sean.
Well, I mean, I'm...
Don't
I like
shame,
I,
don't
you develop
shame,
attachments. No? If you're a nice person, you develop attachments just to more than one person. But in my case, it wasn't really sustainable because I tend to want to hyper focus on one person.
Mm-hmm.
So while it was fun and it was definitely an adventure, it you know, it wasn't sort of my like happiness. It didn't bring me the kind of emotional joy that I had hoped.
Mm.
But it was fun. I think for some people though, it's great, and I don't know that you introduce non-monogamy into a relationship that's been historically monogamous. I think that's more challenging. I think that usually indicates like a discontent in the relationship. You know, like, hey, let's try to save this relationship by spicing it up with somebody else or
yes.
more people.
Sometimes, though, I think you just want to try something different that the other partner isn't into. Like, sometimes I want to be the one to wear the furry costume, Lana.
That's true. Good point. Good point. Firm but fair.
Lana's currently dressed as Grover, sitting in the corner.
It's hot.
Sexy Grover.
Is there any other kind?
All right, let's move on. I mean, this is just funny. There's a piece of paper that I got out of the jar that just says Hillsboro traffic with two exclamation points and a sad face.
Wow.
And I just like to answer that by saying Los Angeles traffic, double exclamation point, and a sad face.
That's right. Atlanta traffic.
I had to wait 2.5 minutes at that light over there by Weaver Street, and I was going insane at all these new people that keep moving here.
I don't really ever have a problem going through Hillsborough, except there's like an hour, like around the lunch hour, and then like an hour around
school
rush.
Lets out.
And school lets out.
And school lets out.
But it's like, what? You're totally like, it takes me an extra 3 minutes to go through down Churton. I'm like, that's a murder.
Yeah. You totally have to go to the other food line when that's happening, you know?
Go to the Republican
Which
food
one
line.
Is the other one?
Which one's the Republican one?
The one off 70.
That was great.
Yeah, we did a show from there once with Jernigan. That was awesome.
They got a great produce department.
Yeah.
I know. I just get it. I'm sure it's not the Republican.
I buy all my chocolate Yoo-Hoo
there.
It's
just the women there. They look very Republican when I do notice.
You're getting into a... You're starting to dig a hole now, Sean.
I know. Well, no. It's a,
we're
it's
here
a hole
at 97.9 The Hill. No point. With our, I'm Eric. This is Alexis, and we're here with men's rights blogger Sean Picor. next question, Alexis.
All right. Dear Alexis, this isn't really advice. What's a topic that there simply aren't enough songs about?
Oh, this was a hilarious.
Toenail fungus.
Toenail fungus?
Yeah. I think we need at least one song.
The Toe Jam.
There is that one. It's the Beatles song.
This, when we looked at this question last night, Saturday night, Alexis instinctively said, diarrhea. And I had to remind her that one of the number one rated songs of all time that we all know was about this very subject. When you're sliding into home and you feel something foam, diarrhea, diarrhea. And we did this all night long with every customer.
We
were singing the diarrhea song for hours.
It was horrifying.
We were making up new lyrics, like when Barry Gooch came in, we're like, when you're hanging out with Barry and you make something hairy, diarrhea.
Jesus.
It never stopped. We had tambourines too, which was awesome.
Yes. Speaking of tambourines, y'all, stay tuned for our new YouTube channel, which is going to be about tambourine tutorials.
Tutorial. Featuring
author of Something Bad Wrong, Eric Pruitt.
And former Love and Valor member.
Tambourine dream.
That's right. Do we have time for one more?
Yas queen.
All right. This one's rather lengthy. Dear Alexis, I went out with someone I met on a dating app recently.
Sean.
We had it could have been Sean. We had exchanged several messages and talked on the phone once before we met, and I thought we had a connection even through the texting. We had a great date, but that was 5 days ago, and they haven't texted at all. I sent a message yesterday, and no response. Am I being ghosted? This has happened before, but mostly with people I hadn't met IRL yet. How do I handle this? Should I write to them again? The answer to the question, am I being ghosted, is yes.
Yeah.
I would just like get down with that right now. Stop telling yourself that they lost your number, they lost their phone, or they're just scared of a relationship. Like, they're definitely ghosting you. The answer to should you write them again, I mean, if you want to, I would say no, definitely not. Or you could take the strategy of just shaming them because you're never going to see them or talk to them again. So just like totally screw with them, you know. And until they block you.
Yeah, there we go. That sounds healthy. That could be fun.
Yeah. Instead of just putting all your energy into these texts that they're probably not going to answer anyway, what you need to do is write a manifesto. Write a manifesto.
I like a good manifesto.
That's right. Yeah.
Sean, you've been recently dating on the apps, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you've experienced some ghosting or done some ghosting.
Yeah, I don't do ghosting. I mean, if I have a first date with somebody that doesn't spark anything, then I'd let them know.
Do you have a standard response? Like,
no.
dear person.
No, I mean, I think I tune it to my response to the person that I'm interacting with. I think that's probably the most respectful thing to do versus like, you know, copy paste. I mean, you know, copy paste has its place, but not in the breakup.
Me personally, I think it's the greatest inventions millennials have ever given us, and that's ghosting. Like, I wish I'd have had it when I was younger. We didn't. I wasted a lot of time trying to be the good guy when ghosting just absolutely suffices. I may overuse it now. As a matter of fact, I have ghosted people in the middle of a conversation. You know, that's one of my bullets in my
You really do. 15. Sometimes I say something to you and you just walk
anyway,
away.
Anyway, we are out of time for this segment, but we're going to go and talk to our one last remaining sponsor. And please stick around because we're going to talk about what's going on in Hillsborough this week. And if we have time, get into Alexis's portal and find some more questions. Stick around.
I'm not your sweetheart friend. Trying to be though. Trying to feel it. Trying to be it.
Ce n'est pas mon problème. Je ne suis pas ton chien.
The Chapel Hill Media Group is 97.9 The Hill, WCHL, your hometown radio station, and chapelboro.com, your hometown online newspaper, with local news.
Welcome back to News on the Hill.
Local events.
The Carborough Music Festival is back.
Music for folks who love music. And Tar Heel Sports.
Carolina is going to go to the national championship.
Get informed and connected with your community through the Chapel Hill Media Group.
Honey, will you eat that snack cracker in your special outfit for me?
If I and we could count one person to go death metal. Yes, that's right. Howdy Hillsborough, y'all. Welcome back to 97.9 The Hill. No point.
No point.
I'm Eric Pruitt. I'm your host on Howdy Hillsborough, joined as always by my partner in grime, Alexis Bravos. We're hanging out here at Village Diner in Hillsborough with Red Eye employee. I forgot what you did. Red Eye employee and men's rights blogger, Sean Picor. Man, guess what? You guys want to hang out with Sean? You want to hang out with me and Alexis some more? Like, I don't know why you wouldn't, but like, you should do that. Come on down to Yonder at 114 West King Street, beautiful downtown Colonial AF Hillsborough. You have plenty of opportunities all week. Like, say tonight, we have Jeremy Alder's live comedy showcase. Close on Monday, but on Tuesday, we've got open mic, Hillsborough's open mic. Come see the most energetic, eclectic, and diverse open mic in the entire world every Tuesday night. On Wednesday, Movie Night Live returns, bringing you This Is Spinal Tap, Spinal Tap, Spinal Tap. So guess what, everybody? Enjoy yourselves and turn up the fun level to 11. On Thursday is our weekly jazz night, and this week we're featuring Cuff Knotts and Christina Lise. These guys are going to be great, crazy as like hip-hop harp music. On Friday, it's last Friday, the Art Walk, and we are celebrating with Armand and Bluesology, along with the artwork of Christina Lise. No, that's the singer. Debbie Corina.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Saturday, we've got the music from the Halfbacks. And next week, Tuesday, we've got the book release party for my own Something Bad Wrong, being held with New York Times bestselling author S.A. Cosby. Looking forward to that.
I am very excited about that.
I am rigid.
Can I roast you rigid at your own party?
You can broil me. You can broast me. You can do whatever you want. My party.
Sweet. Sean, you have been featured as an actor.
An actor.
On several Movie Night Lives past. I know you're not going to be and this one coming up because you'll be out of town. But yeah. Tell us about your experience doing Movie Night Live and why people should come.
Oh, I love it. It's so much fun. When I first was invited to do the Christmas Story, that was kind of like I instantly fell in love with the whole process. And it's fun. And from an audience perspective, it's a good time because we got like a bunch of charismatic folks who do zero rehearsals and just bring the script and just and often in full costume and have the best time. And it's always fun. It's always a good time. Love it. And I'm sorry to be missing this one.
It seems like it's gotten more involved in terms of like costumes and props.
Yeah, I think so, as people got more comfortable with performing, they're like, how can I step it up? And if you can't act like me, I can't act. So one way I can step it up is to like just dress as crazily as possible. And so I kind of lean into that. And that's fun. And you develop quite a costume wardrobe over time and you can reuse it, which is, you know, always fun too.
This is Spinal Tap. That's what we're doing this week. And apparently, Larry Duckworth, famed drummer Larry Duckworth, is going to explode.
Again.
We got time for maybe a question, maybe two.
All right, let's do this. Let's see. Dear Alexis, I was on a work trip last month, and at the hotel in the lobby, I saw a guy who's in one of my favorite bands. I chickened out and did not go say hi, and I'm still mad at myself about it. Have you ever run into anyone famous? And without coming across like a weirdo fan, is there a good way to approach them? I would say don't worry about it. They really don't want to talk to you anyway. I mean, it's just, you know, you can wave. Have I ever run into anyone famous? The answer is yes. I once waited on Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, nicest guy in the world. But I had to talk to him because I was like actually, you know, I was waiting on him in a restaurant. I once waited on Sufjan Stevens. You know who that
oh
is?
Oh my God, yeah.
I have too.
I didn't know. Okay. I didn't know who it was. And I was working, my workmate at the time was our mutual friend Katie. And she just about lost it when she saw them walk in, and she got very excited. And I was like, "What's your problem?" She's like, "Oh my God, that's Sufjan Stevens." And I was like, "I don't know who that is." So I waited on them because she was too afraid to. And then she went over there and said hi, and they were perfectly nice. So I think if you're going to approach someone famous, you should keep it as simple as possible. Just like, "Hi, I'm a huge fan. Thank you for what you've done." And then end it. Yeah. What do you think, Sean?
I agree. And I've met a number of famous people, and what I like to do is just treat them like they're just a normal person and just introduce myself and say, like, "It's an honor to meet you." But then beyond that, I don't ask them about their career, and I don't tell them how much of a fan I am. I just kind of want to connect them with them more on a personal level, mm-hmm. not as like a fan to celebrity level.
You should make it seem like it's an honor to meet you.
Sure.
You know.
I mean, I can try.
Yeah, the restaurant I'm at Lannan was a celebrity hangout. So we had, I mean, I've waited on De Niro, Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken, how could you not do an impression of him to him?
Dude, you try to get in and out of that. The one person I ever spoke to, like out of school, was like Beck. I was so blown away by Beck, and our interaction just left me looking like a... So like...
Wait, what did you say to him?
I told him... He ordered coffee, and my favorite song is that song "Effing with My Head" on the Mellow Gold album. And he says, "I drink my coffee in a hubcap."
Right.
And so he's like, "I'll take a cup of coffee." And I leaned forward. I was like, "Would you care to have that served in a hubcap, sir?" And just waiting for everybody to tell me how cute and hilarious I was. And everybody looked at me like I just crapped on the floor. And Beck says, "No, a coffee cup will be just fine."
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
"Well, I was just quoting your song." So he's like, "You know, you drink my coffee." Oh, okay, I'll go get that right now. And I just had the busboy running out to him because I didn't want to go back to the table.
That's horrible.
Then I went home and burned all of his albums.
F you, Beck.
Wrote
That's
your
the official
then you wrote your manifesto.
Howdy Hillsborough.
Man, this has been a lot of fun. But y'all should, you know, thank you very much for joining us, Sean.
Well,
and
thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And we've obviously been camping at this table for so long because these waiters are mad. So
we should know better.
Yeah, we should know better. I tell you, y'all come see us this week or join us back next week because we're going to be sitting here with Mr. Bob Burtman. It's the interview everybody's been waiting for. Mr. B, if you're nasty. So y'all be sure to join us again right here next week. And in the meantime, y'all, thanks for coming out. You're all set.
You're all set.
Now listen, Julie baby, it ain't natural for you to cry in the midnight. It ain't natural for you to cry when the midnight. Into the wee small office.